we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South, Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense, Colt centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense. Colt centric, don't take offense. Back in the day, Colts versus Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jags playing mocked in South. AFC, white and blue, so pristine.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back here on a Monday night, Tuesday, if you are listening to this, which you probably are tomorrow. But we've got a cool little show for you tonight. Going to go through some of the latest Colts news and such. And we got a prospect interview tonight, Sam Mankowski from Wisconsin, Oshkosh. Pretty impressive dude, to be quite honest with you. D3 prospect. Some of these guys kind of fly under the radar. We've got a few interviews lined up for you guys over the next several days. So this is going to be kind of fun getting into this kind of stuff, because there's a lot of them that offer a little bit more than what you would guess. I mean, look, we see some of these D3 guys typically linemen, or, you know, I mean, it just doesn't seem like we see a ton of wide receivers. I could be mistaken, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of receivers that that tend to come out of D3 or some of the other skill positions necessarily. It happens occasionally, but like I said, it seems like the majority of them are like D linemen and such. But well, let's jump on with the show here. We got a little bit of Colts news. Like I said, the Colts have been pretty active over the past several days at different pro days. The latest one that we've gotten wind of, at least, was at North Carolina A&T for Brandon Parker's workout, their pro day. He's a big off left tackle in college, big dude, 6'7", right at 300 pounds, I believe. A lot of good things from this guy. I think he's a bit of a project. I talked about this in a quick article about the notice of them being there. But at 6'7", he's got quick feet. I've watched a little bit of his tape. He's not like a guy who is not a big plotter like they had last year, like they got with, you know, a couple of the, or with what's his name. And, it, you know, it, whether he would make the team or not, that would be a completely different situation, I think, than they had last year with Banner. So I just think that this is interesting, that the Colts are continually going through all of these pro days. Not that every team does this, so it's not like just the Colts are doing it. But they're going and they're looking at these specific positions because they need these guys. They need to look. Ballard even said that he thought that this draft was pretty deep with offensive linemen, especially in the mid rounds. But he also kind of hinted that he thought that it was especially deep in the mid or in the interior offensive line. Parker's a tackle, but he's big enough to be able to move to either side, I think. I don't think that they're bringing him in to be the left tackle, the starter anyways. I mean, obviously with Costanzo, but they've got enough there to where he could challenge, you know, some of the other guys that are on the roster there for a backup spot or something like that initially. But, you know, big guy like that, that's a hell of a prospect. You want to go after that guy. Nice and strong, too. Did a good job at his pro day. So I think that's definitely something for us to continue to keep our eyes on some of these. We'll try to report these as much as we can from what we get from outside sources and such, whoever's letting these out, so that we can kind of get you to them and get you guys interested in some of the guys that the Colts are looking at. We also have a couple guys sign their exclusive rights tenders today. Eric Swoop signed his, and this is one of the more exciting positions for me. We also had Luke Rhodes sign his, but Luke was a long snapper last year. He's a linebacker by trade, but he was able to come in. The Colts were able to keep some defensive depth by having him be the long snapper and also being, you know, like I said, a little bit of linebacker depth. But Eric Swoop, with the tight end group that they've got, Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle, they got Ross Travis. They've got a nice little tight end room shaping up. I mean, I think Eric Swoop has a lot of potential to be one of the better tight ends on the roster. I definitely think that he's going to be, you know, a guy who can challenge some of these safeties and some of these linebackers up the seam. He was good along the boundary two years ago. Set out all of last season, obviously, as we knew. He tried to come back. It didn't happen. But that's kind of, you know, the way that it goes. And that's basically, you know, that's it happens not just with tight ends, obviously. It happens with any grouping. But this tight end group specifically is going to be exciting to me because we definitely have Jack Doyle, who can, you know, he's the grunt of the group, basically, that is going to do all the dirty work, all the blocking. He's going to come out of the backfield a lot. You know, we've talked about with Reich's new offensive system. They're going to be coming in. They're going to use him a lot in the backfield as a wham blocker quite a bit. But he can also catch the ball. Obviously, we've got that now with Eric Ebron. He's not going to be blocking much. Eric Swoop was actually showing signs of becoming a much better blocker the year before, 2016. So we would like to see, you know, him. He was much, much bigger. He was much bigger in camp. I noticed that a lot. He was about the same size as Brandon Williams or even bigger. And Williams was a big boy. So it would be interesting to see how he comes through. What is he? Is he a more, is he just that receiving threat, you know, with the speed and the hands? Or is he also, you know, a possible inline blocker at times as well? That would also help the offense be less predictable. So I think that you've got that. You've got a guy like Ross Travis, as big as he is, 6'6", 6'7", big long guy, long arms, able to catch the ball up the seam, able to be a somewhat of a blocking, you know, be able to used as a blocker, but also he can be used in multiple sets. I think that their tight end room, for a lot of under-the-radar type names, I think that their tight end room is looking really good right now. The Colts also released their offseason workout dates. So we've got first day being April 9th, just right around the corner, a week from tonight, which is Monday. So that's interesting. We're expected to see Andrew Luck back in the house and all that good stuff. OTAs, off-season workouts, begin Monday or May 22nd. Those go through the 24th, and then May 30th through the 31st, June 1st, and then June 4th through 7th. So that is where everything kind of really kicks off. The OTAs, it's not full camp or anything like that, but it's another thing for us to get excited about. Also have voluntary mini camp April 24th through the 26th, and then mandatory mini camp is June 12th through the 14th. We have such a long layoff, and there is so much time without football. It is so aggravating because we are coming in now. We have this long stretch here between the combine and the draft, and then we have the draft and all these other little piddly dates, it seems like, until they really get going. But being that the Colts have a new head coach, they're able to start their OTAs and such a little bit earlier. So that helps. That's going to get everybody back in line. I think that you could just about guarantee that Andrew Luck is going to be at any workout that's available going forward. I don't think that you're going to see him necessarily as, you know, going just crazy, just throwing the ball all over the field. But I definitely think that we're going to see Andrew Luck become more of a participant in some of the voluntary stuff. He's going to be there working out. Hopefully, between the 9th and then post-draft, we see a lot of Andrew Luck throwing the football. We should be. There's definitely no reason that he shouldn't be out there any more than he is. I mean, we need to see Andrew Luck. The Colts need to see Andrew Luck. Fans need to see Andrew Luck. And look, the NFL needs to see Andrew Luck. The NFL needs to make sure that we are seeing a quality football player all the time with Andrew Luck, because that makes the NFL that much better. I mean, it just does. It's just that simple. So I think that when we look at the draft coming up, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's getting exciting because we're going into this new mode. I know that we've got this kind of a season building up where we're looking at it as if it's a rebuild. And okay, I mean, you can look at it as a rebuild. That's fine because it, for the most part, it is. But I think that even in 2012, couldn't we say that it was a rebuild? We just happened to have Andrew Luck, who was, you know, took the team to an 11-5 record. And I think that this rebuild could be similar. We heard from Reich that he's, you know, he's not waiting. He's expecting to win immediately. You like that kind of a mindset from your offense or from your coach, especially an offensive minded coach. But you just kind of hope that some of these other pieces fit together. You hope that these pieces can be added in the offseason to improve that defense, to continue what they've done in stopping the run last year. They made some leaps in that area. Now you want to see them become a much better coverage team and maintaining that run defense that they started out. I think probably the first half of the season was really impressive. They were among the top 10 in the league. And I think there for a little while, they were at top five, top six. So you want to see some more growth. I mean, I know that it's a different coach. I know that it's a different system. I know that, well, both sides of the ball, it's going to be a different system, but you want to see continued growth. You don't want to see them be stagnant. Some of these players have been here. They're going to be here. This second year group who was drafted in 2017, you want to see them grow, be healthy, play. I mean, we could have a lot of excitement with this team. Being young as they are, there's just no doubt that it's going to be, you know, an exciting, exciting year, whether it's a rebuild or not, because we're going to see a lot that we definitely have not seen in the past. So, guys, that's all we got for the news. We're going to get to our interview with Sam Metkowski right now. He's a wide receiver out of Wisconsin Oshkosh. Very interesting guy. So let's get to that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Sam Metkowski right after this. Now we are on the line with Sam Metkowski. He's a wide receiver from Wisconsin Oshkosh, the Titans. Sam, how you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. We've got a little bit to talk about here. It's fun because we like to enjoy to talk to some prospects who've had, you know, kind of a sometimes a difficult road, sometimes just a really interesting road to get to, you know, where they're at right now, possibly looking to be on an NFL roster here, hopefully in the next couple months, and everything else. So first and foremost, let me kind of get a little bit of backstory on you. How has your road through college and everything to get you to now? How has that been for you?
It's been a little different than probably most NFL prospects. We'll start with senior high school. I was a four sport athlete, so I didn't go to many camps in summer. I wasn't really big into football until my senior year. So recruiting was a little different. It was mostly Division III, Minnesota D2s. So I wasn't a huge recruited guy out of high school. So I went to actually a UW-Whitewater game against UW-Oshkosh, and I really wanted to go to Whitewater. And I was watching the game, and Oshkosh was – doing really well, and I kind of looked at my parents and just said, you know, I see myself more at Oshkosh. And then I took a visit, really liked the coaches, really liked the culture, what they're all doing. So I decided to go with Oshkosh. And freshman year, right away, I gray-shirted, which I knew I was going to do. Most people don't know exactly what that is, but it's typically a red shirt, except you can't have any contact with the team at all. So I'm like essentially got cut while I was in camp, even though I knew that was the route I was going to take. So I get cut, train with all the other gray shirts. There's about 50 of us. Train all fall, no practicing, no, not on the roster, nothing. And then as soon as that spring ball started, I was back on the team and doing spring ball. So then I was able to pick up on the offense really quick in spring. And I got in the fall, made a lot of plays, and ended up starting third game into my freshman year, and then just kind of took off from there. Got better every year. We went to the national championship my junior year. We ended up losing. And then senior year, we were doing really well, really hoping we could win a natty, and ended up losing to Mount Union in the semifinal game.
Hmm. It's interesting. And you said Whitewater. You had a hell of a game against them. 10 catches for over 200 yards and two scores. I mean, is there any better way to say, I think I've, you know, kind of arrived with that, with playing against your former school?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, it was our first conference game. I really didn't produce against Whitewater my other games against them earlier in my career. So it really felt good to go out and do something, kind of stick it to them a little bit.
I'll bet. standing 6'1", 195, is there any challenges you see for one thing or the other? Whether, you know, sitting there, you're not that 6'3", real big-bodied guy, not like 215 pounds or anything like that, but you do have the speed. We talked about that. We'll get to that here in just a second, kind of some of the specifics about your pro day. But you've definitely got the speed. You've got the adequate height to play in the NFL. Where do you see – kind of your strengths moving in here, and what do you think that you can offer an NFL team?
I think I can offer a lot. I think I can go slot. I can go outside. I was typically outside in college, but obviously NFL a little bit bigger, faster, stronger. So I probably see myself in the slot a little bit more. I'm a student of the game. You know, I pick things up quick. I enjoy learning. I enjoy being in the film room. I go to our stadium all the time with the coaches when they're preparing each week and just sit with them, give them my input. They didn't usually take it, but I would give them what I thought, and I really enjoy learning football. I think that'll be really big for me at the next step, you know, just learning each position. So, you know, if we're in a preseason game or something and there's not a lot of bodies and they need another guy to play another position, I think I can do that. And, you know, I think I can just give them really, you know, all of it. Yeah, I can do it all, I think. And at 6'1", they put me at 6'1" on our roster, but really I've been measured at 5'11 and a half with the NFL. So
okay,
it's a little different, but I think a lot of people, you know, they try to find that next, like, Julio Jones and whatnot, but, you know, there hasn't been many of those. So many people are looking at those 6'3", 220 guys, but, you know, how many are really going to pan out? I think, you know, 5'11", it throws you off a little bit, but I think if you give me a chance, let me make some plays, I think I'll do that.
Absolutely. Well, you definitely got the production that teams are going to be looking for. You last year in 13 games, you accumulated almost 1,500 receiving yards, over 113 yards a game, and 13 scores. Do you see yourself more as like a traitsy guy, or do you see yourself as more of a production guy, like get the ball in my hands and I'm going to make something happen?
I think I can do both. You know, I think I can beat people over the top with my speed, but I think I also run good enough routes to get open in the slot and whatnot. So I'm willing to do anything. But yeah, I really think I can do a lot.
Is there a route that you think that a way that you run it that nobody's going to be able to stop you?
In college it was a post. You don't see a ton of that in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But I double moves, I really worked at, and then just getting in and out of breaks. So any you know, like ins, outs, corners, I don't know, just in and out of breaks. I think I'm really good with sinking my hips and getting out. So I don't know. I think I can run a lot of routes.
Is that what you see as the most important part of your route? Like at the top of the stem, or, you know, like you said, sinking your hips to really cut those breaks really tight. Is there something else, or is that the most important piece of being a quality receiver, do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into it. Another big piece would be, you know, setting guys up with your stems. So, you know, you gotta use leverage to beat guys too. You gotta false stem sometimes, you know, trick a guy into doing something. You know, they might see if you inside stem on a post consistently. Well, when you inside stem, they're thinking post, post, post. So maybe next time you're running a post, you outside stem, and he doesn't think post is coming, and then you hit him with it. So I think, you know, just switching everything up, being versatile, I think, is a big part of being a wide receiver.
It is. We talked about your pro day briefly earlier, but you ran a 4.41 at Wisconsin's pro day. That would have been apparently in the top five for wide receivers. You ran a 4.0 short shuttle and a 6.76 three cone from what I've got in front of me. Did you see any surprise on anybody's face?
Yeah. I think on everyone's face, really.
that's kind of what I figured.
I don't think many people gave me respect going into pro day, the people that were there and the people that weren't there. I think everyone's texts that were coming into me were kind of like 4.4 ? Like, you know, kind of surprised. I knew deep down I could do it, but I think, yeah, I wowed a lot of people with what I did.
I'll bet you did. Those are impressive numbers. Is there a receiver in the NFL that you kind of model your game after, or at least somebody that you watch closely to kind of pick up on some of the intricacies of the position?
Yeah, I like watching, obviously, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, but I think one that I can realistically get compared to is Adam Thielen. And I've been hearing that a lot in the past couple months. I think same kind of background. He's a D2 kid. No one gave him a shot, and he just went and made plays and made plays and made plays until he got respect. And I think I've kind of done that my whole life, is got looked down upon and then consistently made plays until people gave me respect. So I watch Adam Thielen. I just kind of, I like what he does. I follow him on social media and all that, see what he does off the field. I think he's a good guy, and I think that's someone that I kind of emulate my game after.
And as a D3 prospect there, what do you see as, you know, what are the positives and the negatives of that, of coming into, you know, hopefully getting into an NFL roster? What are the positive and negatives of that whole process for you?
I think really the only positive would be a little chip on my shoulder. I carry that with me everywhere. It just kind of feels me deep down. I think there's not many positives, obviously, being D3. Negatives, obviously, just everyone's going to look down on you right away. You know, they're going to think, oh, yeah, you did it at D3, but you can't do it here. But I think there's a reason that I'm getting a shot, and hopefully we'll be in a camp, and a reason I'm there. So, you know, I think once I'm there, it shouldn't be looked at all, but I know it will be for sure.
Absolutely. What are some of the workouts that you have coming up? I know that you've gone through with the pro day there for Wisconsin, but do you have any more workouts scheduled with any teams or anything like that?
No, at this time I don't. Just training and at Next Level in Waukesha. My trainer trains the Watts. So I've been with TJ Watt and Derek Watt past couple weeks. Just kind of keep training. Maybe I'll get a workout. I'm not sure. All 32 teams are at the pro day, so maybe they saw enough. Maybe they'll bring me in for a trial or a workout. I'm not really sure at this point.
Nice. That's good company to be in, too, and a good group to be around while you're training. You know, you're getting some good information there, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What kind of a player are NFL teams going to get once you land on their roster?
I think just hardworking guy with a chip on his shoulder. You know, I'm going to come in there ready to go. You know, you only get this one opportunity. I think I'm going to be a student of the game. I'm going to do everything I can to learn every single position. And I'm really hoping I can get on some social teams, and I'm willing to do that and, you know, just do whatever the team needs me to do, I'm going to do. So, I think, yeah, just hardworking guy that, you know, he'll do everything he possibly can to stick on a roster.
And kind of finally here, before I let you go, what was the team that you grew up rooting for? Who did you, was it the Packers? You're from Wisconsin, so.
Yeah, I've never been like a diehard Packer fan, but if I have to pick a team, yeah, for sure, Green Bay Packers.
Right, that's a good answer, because ultimately you just want to go, you just want to play. That's pretty cool, man. Sam, it was great talking to you. Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am.
What's your handle so that people can follow you there?
It's at Sam Mentos 2. So at SAMMENTOS number 2.
Awesome. Sam Metkowski from Oshkosh, guys. Wisconsin Oshkosh. Thank you, Sam, for your time tonight. Best of luck to you going forward, and hope that we get to hear about you being on in camp on an NFL roster and working your way up to make that 53-man roster, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, hope you enjoyed that interview with Sam. Interesting guy. Lot of, you know, traits, a lot of speed, a lot of good things coming out of him. Sounds like he's working with a really good group there with the Watt brothers as well. So I think that's, you know, that's definitely going to benefit a D3 guy like him. I think that was really, really important for him to kind of, you know, be seen. I think that he's going to be seen too, especially, like I said, with that speed, kind of his size, being a slot guy, pretty interesting. So with that, now we're going to move on to another 3-round mock that we've got up using my man Joe Marino's big board from NDT Scouting. Excited to do that. You guys seem to have quite a bit of you know, thoughts on the last one that we did. So we're going to do, like I said, another 3-round mock. Going to see kind of how the picks fall in this one with a different big board, using it against multiple boards as well. So let's jump right in. We're sitting at 6. I'm not trading back at all. But here we sit with Baker Mayfield going 1 to the Browns, Rosen 2 to the Giants, Bradley Chubb to the Jets. We know that's not happening, right? I mean, but Bradley Chubb goes number three to the Jets. Connor Williams, offensive tackle, goes to the Cleveland Browns. Roquan Smith, number five, to the Broncos. So we've got our group that we want here. I mean, we've got, you know, everybody but Bradley Chubb, basically. A lot of people will talk about Roquan Smith. I don't think that that's necessarily a realistic situation. But you guys know me by now. You know that I'm high on Tremaine Edmonds. It's hard for me to pass him up because he's so skilled. He's exactly what the Colts will need going forward. Does he turn into a massive pro in his first year? You know, we don't know. Is he rookie of the year type talent? He is talent-wise, but does he turn into that? We don't know. It's hard for me to not take him. Saquon Barkley's on the board, Fitzpatrick, Quentin Nelson. All these guys are sitting here on the board, and we definitely need linebackers. We need edge guys. We need guards. I think there's some other guys here, though, that are going to benefit us later on in the draft here. So I'm going to stick with my gut here and go Tremaine Edmonds at number six overall. I think that you get a guy like him with that's 6'5", that can rush off the edge, who can also be that middle linebacker that you want to be able to take in pursuit sideline to sideline, can hit those gaps and just, you know, pop some people in the mouth. I think the Colts need that as much as they need anything. Do the Colts trade back in a situation like this? It's possible. I don't necessarily think that that's a given by any means, but I definitely think that it's possible. So I wanted to go with Tremaine Edmonds here just because I felt like he was the guy to get. Now, after our pick, Minkah Fitzpatrick goes 7 to the Bucks. Nelson goes 8 to the Bears. Barkley goes all the way at 9 to the Niners. That would be deadly. Derwin James to the Raiders at 10. Jaire Alexander 11 to the Dolphins. Taven Bryan to the Bills at 12. Daron Payne 13 to the Skins. Denzel Ward 14 to the Packers. McGlinchey 15 to the Cardinals. Cortland Sutton 16 to the Ravens. Jamarco Jones to the Chargers at 17. Isaiah Wynn, a guard, at Seattle Seahawks at 18. Jesse Bates, the safety, to the Dallas Cowboys at 19. Darius Geis to the Lions at 20. Billy Price to the Bengals at 21. Ridley to the Buffalo Bills at 22. Sam Hubbard, kind of sad that he's off the board, at 23 to the Rams. Anthony Miller, wide receiver, to the Panthers at 24. Justin Reed, Tennessee Titans, 25. Vita Vey to the Falcons at 26. Harold Landry to the Saints at 27. Rashawn Evans to the Steelers at 28. Sam Darnold to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wow, that's crazy. All the way down there. 29. Maurice Hurst goes in the first round to the Minnesota Vikings at 30. James Daniels to the Patriots at 31. And Tyrell Crosby, offensive tackle, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles at number 32. This is kind of interesting. This tells me that we've got some more good guys here on the board that, you know, we could possibly get a piece of. So I'm excited to see kind of who's left here with what's left on the board. Here's what's gone in the second round. The first pick, Josh Jackson to the Browns. Nick Chubb went to the New York Giants. Round two, pick two, Frank Ragnow, another center, third center, to the Cleveland Browns with pick three there. There's a bunch of guys here that we're going to like. There's a couple that I really like, obviously. I sitting here with, you know, there's different boards, okay? Duke Ejiofor out of Wake Forest, I like him. I just don't think that he's that high. He's not that high on my board. I'm not taking him as an edge there. DJ Moore, wide receiver, that would be a good pick. Sony Michel would be a good pick. I think there's a lot of guys here that are good picks. But look, we are in a situation where we've already got our linebacker, so Leighton Vander Esch is not going to be my pick, okay? I'm not a Lorenzo Carter fan at all. I'm going with Will Hernandez, the guard out of UTEP. I think that is a good pick here. We've got back-to-back picks. So, again, we talked about this. Who do you pick there? I didn't think ahead in this one because we're kind of going one pick at a time, but who are you going to pay more? That could be, you know, the difference being only in one pick. You know, it could be, you know, down 4 years down the road, couldn't make a bit of a difference. But Round two, pick four, Will Hernandez, guard out of UTEP. Now we've got our linebacker, we've got a guard. We're at round two, pick five. Where are we going to go with this? I don't see the edge guys here. In fact, I have an edge further down that I would like in later pick. I don't necessarily, like I said, want to throw that at edge four right now. Sitting here with what's on the board, we could use, a wide receiver. We could use a running back. I think that I'm going to go ahead and go with Ronald Jones from USC here as a running back. I like that pick a lot, to be honest with you. He was a little lower on Joe's board than Sony Michel. I'm going to go with Ronald Jones here, round two, pick five. That's who I like for what we've got right now. So let's go back to round two. Man, I can't talk for nothing tonight. The pick six was Ejiofor. He went right after Ronald Jones did to the Bucks. DJ Moore went to the Bears. Ronnie Harrison to the Broncos at pick eight. Austin Corbett, guard, to the Raiders. Leighton Vander Esch went to the Dolphins at pick 10. Chukwuma Okorafor to the Patriots, a tackle. Michelle went to the Skins at 12. Marcus Davenport, edge, went to the Packers at 13. Lorenzo Carter to the Bengals at 14. Mike Hughes went 15 to the Cardinals. James Washington, wide receiver, went to the Chargers with round two, pick 16. So, again, we've got a lot of good ball players on the board here. We've got a guard, we've got a linebacker, and we've got a running back. So where are we doing here? I'm looking at edge right now. I'm looking at cornerback. I'm looking at maybe even another linebacker. I'm not seeing one that I really like there. He's got Fred Warner and Jerome Baker as kind of the next two off the board here. Do we go offensive tackle? I did that the last time. I kind of wanted to solidify this offensive line, but we've got some really interesting wide receivers in this group as well. This is going to be a tough pick because there's a ton of corners getting ready to come off this board. This tells me that I can kind of relax on maybe the edge guy, maybe not. I might get burnt here. But if I'm going with best player available, we need a couple different things here, right? We have already established that. So looking at the wide receivers, do I like them? I think I do. And I think I like Christian Kirk out of Texas A&M, a guy who can give you a lot out of the slot. He can play outside. That's a good pick. And as far as I'm concerned, that's two skill position guys with two really important other positions of need, desperate need, with linebacker and guard. And you get that running back and that wide receiver that are going to help out a lot. So looking at the next picks after the pick 17 was Dallas Goedert to the Cowboys, Michael Gallup to the Lions, wide receiver Colton Miller, offensive tackle, to the Ravens. Lamar Jackson went to the Bills. Fred Warner went to the Chiefs, linebacker. Carlton Davis, cornerback, went to the Panthers. Josh Sweat went to the Bills. Mike Gesicki, tight end, went to the Titans. Linebacker Jerome Baker went to the Falcons. Dante Pettis, he's going to be a big-time receiver, I think, as well. He went to the Niners. Mason Rudolph goes to the Steelers. Hayden Hurst to the Jags. Isaiah Oliver to the Vikings. Nathan Shepard to the Patriots. Of course he did. And linebacker Sean Dion Hamilton goes to the Cleveland Browns. Now, as we set into the third round, it looks like we're going to have, again, some guys that we obviously want to snatch up with this. We haven't gotten our edge guy yet, and this is our pick to kind of really nail it if he's available. And it doesn't look like he is because the first pick, Alex Kappa, offensive tackle of the third round, and then Ogbonia Okoronkwo goes to the New York Giants. That kind of hurts my feelings because that's who I was targeting at this point in the draft. Now we've got a bunch of guys on the board. Like I said, a bunch of corners here that are in this area. We've gotten our skill position guys that we really needed. Maybe a little higher than we probably should have gotten them, but we got two really good skill position guys. So ending this three-round mock draft, I'm going to go with Duke Dawson, cornerback out of Florida. I think that we really need another cornerback. He's got some length. He's got speed. He's got the height and everything. Or he's got the ball skills that the Colts really need in that secondary back there. So to round out this three-round mock, the Colts get Tremaine Edmonds with their sixth overall pick, Will Hernandez with their round two pick four. Round two pick five is Ronald Jones, running back out of USC. Round two pick 17 is wide receiver Christian Kirk out of Texas A&M. And then round three pick three, cornerback Duke Dawson out of Florida. So I'm enjoying this group quite a bit, to be quite honest with you. I think this is another good, solid draft. It's not landing the way I want with edge. We didn't get our edge in these first three rounds. That could be a problem. So that's on me for not maybe going a little higher than I should have with some of these guys. I probably should have gone after my edge. But looking at Tremaine Edmonds, he's one of those guys, like I said, if you find another running or you find another linebacker in this draft who can play that center position, that middle linebacker, you have the opportunity to move Tremaine Edmonds around amongst the three linebacker positions, rushing off the edge. He can definitely shoot the gaps up the middle. So I think that you've got some pass rush ability out of Tremaine Edmonds as well. Not the bona fide edge rushing type guy that you need, because the Colts do need an edge rusher. There's plenty more to get after round three, but this is where we got right now. I think Arden Key was still on the board. I can't ever see myself drafting him. We talked to, you know, a couple people on this podcast who come on here. One of them, you know, said that he wouldn't touch him. And after looking through all the edge guys that I've kind of scouted for our draft guide, I see what he means. And I wouldn't, you know, you look at his 2016 tape and it's not great. It's much, much better than his 2017 tape, but his 2017 tape is so much worse than his 2016. It's just, that's what he's done lately. I don't want that on my team. And, you know, with all the immense amount of crap off the field, no thanks. So I would definitely go with another guy further on down the draft. And I think that there's still some guys to be had there for sure. So a lot of guys that I like, actually, that are going to end up in that third, fourth round. And I think that if you can get one or two of them, I think that you can kind of still build your roster accordingly and make sure that you have, you know, the necessary pieces moving forward to really still get some of this quality talent that you want. Maybe you get that bona fide edge guy next year, maybe you don't, but at least you've got some guys there ready for the build this year. So guys, nice show tonight. We had I'd like to thank Sam Mitkowski for jumping on here. We got some of the news out of the way. We got us a little three-round mock. Had a nice little show. So thank you guys all for coming around. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast.
Closer to a ring, like 07, trophy and rings. Matt Dainley hosting the Colts in this thing.